and welcome to Top Realtors of Atlanta, sponsored by Commercial Capital Limited, the place to go when the banks say no, and the Ty Fair Commercial Group with four locations and growing. They're a great source for your commercial real estate needs. I'm your host, Brian Peart, the president of Commercial Capital Limited. We're excited to introduce you to some of Atlanta's top realtors on every episode. I will be joined by some of the top realtors in our area to discuss the real estate landscape and the latest news and trends within the industry. Every month, we'll release two new episodes. One show will focus on residential real estate, while the other will concentrate exclusively on the commercial real estate market. On today's podcast, we're going to talk commercial real estate with Andy Sutton of the Sutton Investment Property Group. Welcome, Andy, to the show.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Andy, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about you and a little bit about your company and what you do?
Well, a little bit about me is I've started this firm a couple of years ago. We're a full-service boutique investment property group, basically. We represent clients all over the world for different types of asset classes, including industrial, retail, multifamily, you name it at this point. A little bit about my background, I got my start in development when I first graduated from college. So I have all aspects in there between development, appraisal work, and then the investment sale side.
Nice. So you got a broad range. Now you said all over the world. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I have clients that are in Sydney and South Korea as well, and they buy here in the United States.
Nice. Yeah. Go international. All right. Well, why don't we start with a couple questions like what types of properties do you handle or look for your clients?
Well, I mean, it really depends on the type of client, but most clients are either looking for the retail, the industrial, or multifamily, you know, some medical as well. So I really just try to keep an eye out for all of that. I mean, I've developed all of those, and I also have helped clients buy those and personally bought some of those myself as well.
Right. You invest in also.
Yes.
So of those asset classes, which ones are the hottest right now?
Right now, well, I mean, industrial is really hot. Retail has really picked back up as well. The cap rates have been dropping. Multifamily has been hot for at least a year or so now.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with the lack of housing and the lack of development for the multifamily. So
right.
The supply and demand has created a huge need for the apartment side.
Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. So how do you find value in a property or assets?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. It is a loaded question as well. So it really depends on the type of client. I mean, but typically, you know, some clients are looking just for, you know, a value add type of situation, and some just want a specific type of return over time. But if they're looking for a value add, you really have to look deep into the properties. I mean, there's so many properties that come on the market that aren't underwritten correctly, and you really have to know what you're doing to look and see what's being left off of there or what has not been adjusted for when the property is being purchased. For instance, taxes. So they may give you the tax rate now, but as soon as you sell it and it gets reassessed, the property taxes are going to go up. And if you don't adjust for that and you don't look for that, then the return for the investors are going to be much lower.
Right. Yeah. And you're always focused on return for the investors with all your clients, pretty much.
Always, yeah. All the returns. It can be just a cash on cash basis or an internal rate of return or what they're looking for in appreciation over time. Or there's a lot of different variables.
Right. Okay, so what are some pitfalls when valuing a property? What to look for, what's missed, you know?
A lot of times when you see some of these underwriting, the first thing to do is get a correct package. A lot of them will list out all the expenses in those packages. Sometimes they leave those out, like management fees. And I'll say, well, the owner he manages now. But typically, if someone's going to buy this, they're going to hire a third-party management company.
Correct.
They're not necessarily going to do that for themselves. You can also need to look for, you know, are the rents artificially high? You know, what's the vacancy rates in the area? Are they giving you any vacancy rates? So each property is individually different, so you have to kind of look at it from that perspective.
I think, too, with the especially with clients from out of the area, it's really important for them to have someone who's gonna look at that surrounding market. You know, if an asset is under, if the local market is 95% occupancy and our asset's at 85%, and it's, you know, what's wrong with that situation, you know, and to know that local area, you know, unless they're local, they're not going to.
And that's absolutely correct. And, you know, they can come in and say, well, I'll call a broker or I'll call another agent and I'll get some comps. But, you know, from my appraiser hat that I used to wear, I mean, those comps are kind of subjective. You can easily pull the kind of comps that you really would want to use in order to kind of justify that number. So it's always nice to be able to have someone who knows the market and say, hey, I'm looking, this is kind of the low price per square foot, this is the high price per square foot, or vacancy, and, you know, whatever other factors that you are looking at.
Right.
Yeah.
What are some other pitfalls or issues that you see come up on deals that maybe throw a kink in the works?
I think a lot of it just depends on the deal itself. But, I mean, a lot of the pitfalls, again, are not looking at the expenses in detail and trying to find out whether or not you're doing you're getting the vacancies correct, you're not getting the taxes assessed correctly, insurance, management fees, all the above. Really.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what's the largest deal you've ever done to date?
The largest deal I've done was for one of my international clients that lived in Sydney, and he bought a 400,000 square foot building in Central Perimeter. It was close to $70 million, but it was a little more detailed than that. We actually went back, it's on 13 acres, so we were able to go and help him get more density on the property. So we actually went through all the rezoning, all the feasibility studies, talked to MARTA about access to their train line right there, which runs right to the property. And we actually got them, like I said, 1.2 million square feet and increased that. So it's roughly they can do five more office towers there.
So you did those things for them? Like you went and got the feasibility and all that
myself
stuff?
Myself and a team, yeah. We had a lot of other groups, another large real estate company that deals with feasibility studies here, mm-hmm. and some leasing aspect. And then I had another developer help as well. But we all walked through that kind of simultaneously. Myself and this other developer did.
Oh, that's a real value add.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, because now, I mean, it's probably worth $130 million. Not bad for 5 or 6 years.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you only handle large investors, or?
No, we actually do some syndication for some smaller investors as well. So you can put together, portfolios of what they'd like to buy. It just depends on the equity and the type of, you know, asset class that we're looking at. But typically, the equity guys will get 60% roughly, and then, you know, the group actually goes out and gets the loan, and we're the ones that take responsibility for the note. So it kind of helps out. We give a preferred return, and then plus, you know, whatever the internal rate of return is going to be over the time of the asset itself, the whole period.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So on the syndication deals, maybe they're looking in that $3 to $5 million range, you think?
Pretty much, like, yeah. $3 to $6 million. That's right. Correct. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So what trends are you seeing in the market right now?
Well, you would have thought, you know, as a kid, I had the little black, you know, eight ball that you could shake up and you'd say yes or no.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Sure.
You would think that's what, you know, a lot of people are doing. But I thought when the interest rates kind of went up a little bit, it might drop the cap rates some. I have not seen that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even all across all asset classes, there's still, I'm seeing retail deals that are coming out at six caps or 6.25 cap deals. And typically those were in the 6.75 to 7 cap. Now 7 cap hadn't been around for quite some time,
right?
But that's kind of what we were seeing. So I'm it's been really interesting. I think there's a ton of equity out there still chasing deals, and they just don't want to put it in the market. So they're trying to find and put it in real estate, which is a lot of times what they do besides putting their money in the market. So
The residential has begun to slow down, but I only do commercial like you, and I've been just slammed.
Yeah.
The amount of lead flow and deal flow has just been as busy as it's ever been, I don't know what to make of it. I'm happy about it, you know, but I just don't know what to make of it. It's there should have been some slowdown from the rates going up.
There should have been a correction,
of
some sort.
And it just hasn't happened.
I know. I know. And it depends on, when you say residential slowing down, it actually kind of depends on the area of town. I mean, I live in town. You put a property on in Virginia Highlands or Morningside or Druid Hills or in that area, they're getting above list pricing now still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it just, you know, it's I think it depends on the area.
Well, true, but like before, again, we interview residential people, and you know, it's funny, back in January, February, nothing's going to slow us down.
Yeah.
You know, now it's a different when I'm interviewing them, but you know, there was a time there earlier this year where it wasn't just getting above list price. It was getting above list price, no inspection, no nothing, and closing, you know.
And
getting 50 offers. Now it is becoming back down more towards a normal market, which is good.
Oh, you know, I agree.
And even the hottest areas, like in my area, I could sell my house roughly close to what I was able to sell it back then. It might take a little longer to sell.
Exactly.
You know?
But
there's still demand there. But in commercial, I mean, it just hasn't slowed down.
Man. It hasn't. And I have a ton of clients looking for deals, and I bet I get 150 a week that I have to go through. You know, so you have to weed through all of those because a lot of them are not any good, and a lot of them aren't underwritten correctly. So to try to find that good one, when you do, you need to jump on it fairly quickly.
So like you've got a cadre of people that are asking you to look for stuff for them, basically.
That's
like
correct.
Like how'd you get that Sydney, Australia client?
I had a building in town near the Georgia Tech at one time that was for sale, and he saw it on LoopNet of all places, and called me about it. And when he came into town, I entertained him for quite some time because it was a family. It was an old school family, and mm-hmm. it was really interesting. And so I spent probably 2 weeks driving him around and his father, showing them Atlanta and showing them different areas and different types of assets that I thought they should invest in. They really wanted office. So, you know, I showed them West, you know, Perimeter. I showed them Perimeter. I showed them in town. I showed them, you know, Cumberland area. So I showed them a lot of different types of pockets around Atlanta that I thought that would be interesting and a good fit for them because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I kind of take it personal. So I really want to make sure that the first one for sure they buy is going to be a home run.
Right.
Again, I almost do that with every property, probably to a fault, but that's just kind of how I was brought up. So
no, that's yeah. I think that's why you're successful, right?
Yeah.
For that reason. So where do you see, you know, let's put on our hat here over the next 6 months to a year. What do you see happening in the market around here?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. It has to be a little bit of a correction. I mean, I still anticipate that. I still think there's still going to be a strong need. I mean, especially for the multifamily because, you know, they just to supply and demand. They just didn't build for quite some time.
Right.
As far as the retail, you know, I still see a lot of smaller businesses, mom and pops, that are expanding into, you know, new locations and new areas. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a slowdown and the caps are going to have to adjust. You just really, I couldn't tell you how far that's going to be or where that is going to be. If I could, then I make everyone rich, I think.
Right. That would be great. You know, there is, it concerns me on the multifamily, the large Class A stuff that when it was originally approved. So I see a lot of these projects early stage and they're still, now they're struggling to get money for it because their projections only worked with 3 cap rates and 3% interest rates, you know, and that's blown all out of the water.
Right.
So I there might be concern, but the thing that it's got going forward is the Southeast is where people are moving to.
Right.
You know, and so like you said, there's still a supply and demand issue that's not going to go away.
Right.
And these interest rates going up so much, you know, that hurts affordability for buying a house for some people. And even though these rent rates are so high, I can still see, you know, growth, you know.
And that you hit the nail on the head there, which is, you know, is the increase in the rents. I mean, the rents are extremely high in and around Atlanta, but it's not in some of the areas of the United States either. So you do have, it's still affordable here, and you still have a lot of corporations that are moving to Atlanta or you know, and opening and hiring. And so therefore you're going to have a need for housing at some point. So
we're very blessed. We're in the Southeast and this stuff is coming now. You spoke about retail, you know, kind of expanding and stuff. I see that on my side too, because I do a lot of startup franchise loans and those types of things. And I mean, people are starting these businesses and that's where the renting is, these, you know, these strip malls and things like that. Mm-hmm. They're going in there and they're just not slowing down, you know? I just don't know what to make of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, well, I mean, and it's not like back, you know, in 2008 when, you know, you could go buy a building for next to nothing down. You know, you just had to put a CD in the bank. I mean, the lending institutions, of course, you know, those are still pretty strict about the amount of cash you have to put into the deals and equity and some, you know, some running money, I call it. You know, you've got to be able to fund something that happens. So,
it's never gotten frothy on the underwriting, like to your point back in 08. So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I think the only way that we could have a mortgage-backed security crash of some sort like we had in 08 would be something revolving the government. Like the government would have to crash or something. It would have to be something that just messes up the entire securities market.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Those loans have been underwritten, you know, 25% down. You know, some local banks might go 20% down. But, I mean, it's always, you know,
it's always a
decent
good
chunk down.
Right.
Not, you know, just...
Yeah. Yeah, not just being able to come in with 10% down or whatever, you know, you could do back then. But, yeah, I mean, you can take it a step further unless the interest rates go to, I mean, I remember when I was developing with my father in the 80s, I mean, 17, 18, 90% interest rates. I mean, if they went that high again, then you might have a problem. But, I mean, that's a big if. That's a big stretch.
Yeah, you know, I don't buy the raising the rates really fast is going to stop the inflation argument that the Fed's trying to push. I just think they got caught pushing too much money out and now they're stuck. And,
well, now they feel the need to do something,
right?
Or it looked like they're doing something.
all right. So overall, what I'm hearing is market's good, it's busy. There's reason to be. I mean, there should be a correction at some point, but you know. Until it happens, it hasn't happened, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So as you're planning, though, you got to look at these investments as something that, all right, if a correction happens, what will this asset, how will this asset perform, right?
Exactly.
So that's something you do for the people, too, right?
Absolutely.
Kind of project out, look, you know, these tenants, they're locked in till, you know, 2030 and... you know, this Applebee's on the corner is not going anywhere, or, you know, whatever it is.
Exactly. I mean, you when you're underwriting, you have to look at it that way. And I do it very conservatively. So when you do that and you go, okay, well, what's the worst case scenario? These two tenants blow out. And you go, okay, well, that's half the building. And, oh, I'm still able to cover the note. Okay, that's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now your return's going to drop, but that's okay. I mean, ask anyone in 08 if they would have been okay just being able to pay the note.
Right. That's
and
right.
I assure you they would say absolutely instead of having to give it back to the bank.
Right.
There's always ways that you really need to kind of look at it from the pro and the cons side of it.
Well, and the location too, right?
Because
it should be easy. If it's the right location, then filling back those spots should be hopefully easy.
Fairly easy, And it depends on the asset. If you're looking at, if it's a industrial single tenant building, well, that's a little different because, I mean, you've got one tenant. If they leave, then you get no income and you have to fill it back with another tenant.
That's right.
That's why I really enjoy tenant industrial or multi-tenant retail or multifamily because, I mean, you can afford to lose one or two or 10 and you're okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of a hedge against if the economy slips into recession or if we're in one now or whoever wants to, you know, depending on who you're listening to.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't look at it that way, Brian, then there's a lot of people who don't. I mean, if you don't look at it that way, then you're setting yourself up for failure. No way that you can sustain that. No way.
What's nice about commercial real estate is you've got an generally appreciating asset, irregardless of whatever, but then there's the cash flow thing too. So you're getting cash flow, some tax benefits from depreciation, plus, you know, hopefully appreciation in the asset, and that's a nice investment. You know, all your money in it, maybe not, but you know, it's definitely something nice to have, and not just have everything in stocks and bonds. You know?
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, I think you diversify, and it depends again on the individual and their long term goals. I mean, I just turned 60, so my goals are a little bit different.
Right.
So
that's right.
Than somebody who's 33 years old.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, when you look at, I mean, you can do cost seg studies, which will save on taxes in the year, you know, and taxes you have to pay on the income. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways to look at it and the advantages that you have by doing that. I mean, you know, maybe it appreciates a ton, so you got a ton of equity, so you kind of refinance it, pull the equity out, and go buy another deal.
That's right.
So I mean, that's how the wealthy get wealthy.
That's right. That's right. Commercial real estate is the realm of the wealthy. It really has always been that way.
Right.
Anybody can buy a house. Not anybody, but I mean, that's a even lower middle class can own a home, you know, but because of the amount of money down, the commercial real estate is really for those investors that, you know, are going into that upper tier, you know.
Right.
And
right. Well, the price point's a little different too as well. I mean, you can go buy, you know, a $10 million home too, but you can buy a lot of income on a $10 million property.
Right. So, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, I mean, we were talking about, I think it's interesting that I really thought there would be a little bit of a correction right now, but, you know, we'll know more toward the end of the last quarter, because that's when all the large corporations got to spend X before the end of the year.
Right.
So that will usually be a telltale sign of what's going to happen for first quarter and second quarter of next year. So I would definitely try to, you know, keep your pulse on that toward this last quarter, which we're coming into.
Oh yeah, I think these next 3 months are going to be really important. Actually,
yeah.
There's a lot of geopolitical stuff out there, and there's
right,
just a
exactly.
lot of
yeah.
a lot of things to keep our eye on.
Yep.
So we'll see if we can sail through that. Then who knows?
Hopefully,
maybe,
home free again.
Maybe,
yeah,
maybe
for a few
another,
more years.
Yeah,
that'd
a few
be
more
great.
Years. You never know. So why don't you tell everyone how to reach you, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I'm Andy Sutton with the Sutton Investment Property Group. You can reach me at andy@suttonregroup.com, or you're more than welcome to call me, 404-429-8566.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for joining us on Top Realtors of Atlanta, presented by Commercial Capital Limited and the Ty Fair Commercial Group. We offer new shows on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, so keep an eye out for those. You can find us on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. You can also enjoy the show anytime by visiting businessradiox.com, selecting the Gwinnett Studio, and then clicking on Top Realtors of Atlanta. Thanks again, Andy, for coming on the show. On behalf of Commercial Capital Limited and the Ty Fair Commercial Group, I'm Brian Peard, and this has been Top Realtors of Atlanta on Business Radio X.